yisod, a very fundamental principle that I first heard from my father's Zechanei Livracha, and then the one who really clinched it was the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and then subsequently, about 11, 12 years ago, I heard the same yisod ba'arichus from Hagoyin Rav Levinsohn Shlita. Hashem Yarech Yamav. And this is so the so pashit, and I think I'm not telling you any chidushim whatsoever. I'm sure you will probably, after I finish, you will subscribe to it, hopefully completely. So I'll just start with the following. In the Pasha Vayigash, beginning of Vayigash, we have a very fascinating, I guess I'll call it a kind of almost monologue delivered by Yehuda, in the parasha. As you know, the end of Mikes, we just read. So there, the Torah describes what happened in terms of Binyamin, in terms of the Gavia, the goblet that was used by Yosef for divination purposes. And now, at the beginning of Ayigash, we have Yehuda painstakingly reviews all the central elements inherent in the dialogue between Yosef and his brothers. If you read the first series of Sukkim, you know them. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk Chav, Pasuk Chavala, Pasuk Chavez, Chav Gimel. And essentially, he's not saying anything that was not known to this viceroy, to this Mishnah, Malach Mitzrayim. What does he say? You look at the Sukkim, you can open them up. Adoni Sha'alos Abadam Neymo HaYishlachem Obarach, which means my Lord, referring to Yosef, yes, his servants, do you have a father, do you have a brother? And we answered, yes, we have Ov Zakein, an old father and a young child, and the brother, one brother is dead, and essentially there's another brother whom his father loved, referring to Binyamin, and his father cannot, shall we say, bear to Chas v'Shalom in any way be alienated from him. So in recapitulating the dialogue, there's one striking theme that recurs many, many times. And there seems to be an unbelievable concern for an elderly father whose frail physical and psychological state are so vulnerable that any further shocks would terminate his life. That's how Yehuda presents to Yosef. And then we see this many times. If you take a look again, on one of the psukim, Chav Beis, V'adomer l'Adoni, lo yuchal anar l'azor v'saviv, yazar v'saviv v'meis. If he were to leave his father would die. Referring to Binyamin, the only child. And then the Torah goes on, continuing along this way. The Torah actually has many psukim. I wrote down for myself all the psukim. You take a look, for example, again, a bit later, Chotes. If you take this one, what's going to happen to my father? We'll go straight to the grave. So here we have a very eloquent, shall we say, soliloquy on the part of Yehuda, and he speaks intimately about his father. By the way, the word father is mentioned 14 times during this peroration of Yehuda. 14 times he mentions the word father. So Rishonim are bothered by a simple question. Rishonim is bothered by discussion, and so is Asolechik, and so is Avdemisol, the brother Chaim Arukim. Namely, what novel idea is being presented in this moving oration? The information is already known to Yosef. The repetition is superfluous. Furthermore, we're astounded that this Egyptian viceroy, he's the Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim, second in command. He's autocratic, a kind of demagogue, a kind of overlord, domineering, imperious. Why would he have any forbearance to listen to all this? Like Jews get together and they go on forever. Someone asked me a question. What do? I don't answer the question. I give my whole drasha. That's what we're all about. But the question is why? Why would he have any interest to listen to this lengthy, impassioned plea that's totally unrelated to the issue at hand? What's the issue at hand? The end of Mikes. Namely, the goblet, the gavia. Correct? That was stolen. So what is going on over here? Yehuda at least should have responded to the charges. Wouldn't that be the proper thing to do? And instead, what do we encounter? Take a look at the end of Mikes, where Yehuda says Elohim in the last two, three psukim. Yosef says to them in Tesvav, what did you do? Did you not know that I would intuit through my divination powers exactly what you're up to with that goblet? By Yom Yehuda, Which means guilty as charged. It's a kind of bidui. Yehuda is acknowledging the fact that we are guilty. And of course, what does he say? We're going to be servants. We'll become indentured servants. And he says, no, God forbid. The one in whom the gavir was found in his knapsack, namely whom, Binyamin, who Yeliyamin? He's going to be the servant. The Aten, you can go back home and bon voyage. But Yehuda now comes to the beginning of Ayigash, doesn't respond to the claim, which is on the docket. Correct? That's what the court is all about, the court session. And he goes on and on and on. Yehuda, beginning of, shall we say, Vayigash, it is absolutely mystifying. So my father, Zecher Lebracha, this is over 50 years ago, my father tells me the following theory. I thought, I'm not exaggerating, I have a lot of dachats to my father, Zecher Lebracha, I call him often. There's a sefer I'm familiar with called Shai Lahavi.
Great sefer.
A present to my father. And I didn't put this in there because I felt the theory was so well known already that maybe I'm not being mechadish. My father said to me the following. And then later on I heard about Soloveitchik Zatzal. Barichus. He expatiated on this topic, and then Yibodol Chai Barukim, Hadorim Marenu Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Zol Shrita, also on the same thing. My father said the following. My father said, even though according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, who was aware of whom? Yosef was aware of his brothers. How do we know that? Reshit Pasha. What does it say? Bayakir Yosef Esechov, Vehem Lo Hikiru. Do you remember that pasuk? Sammy, he knows the whole Torah, so I don't have to start it with him. But the pasuk says clearly in Miketz, we just read it. Do you recall when Yosef accuses his brothers of being miraculous, of being spies? Perek Mem Beis, pasuk Ches, for those who don't believe me. Perek Mem Beis, pasuk Ches, take a look. Vayaka Yosef Esechav, Eim Lo Hikiru. So Rashi has a very striking shot. What does Rashi say? Everyone knows Rashi. Why did they not? Correct. Rashi has a comment. Thank you. He also knows Baruch Hashem Chumash well. Rashi says, Shiyotzo me'etzlom lo chasim ha-zokon. He left them without rod, without a beard. And now he has a beard, so they didn't recognize him. So my father said to me, come on. You can't recognize a person with a beard? Because he grew a beard? Doesn't the physiognomy more or less the same?
It's a little.
A little. And that you said the word little. Okay, but that's not the only thing my father said.
20 years.
My father was convinced, beyond convinced, that even though the pasuk says the second layla, let's read it first, let's be fair. Perek Mem Hei, pasuk Aleph, you have it? V'lo yichol Yosef lehisapek l'chol nitzavim b'alav. He couldn't hold himself back. And v'yikra hotziv kodesh me'oloi. And now he reveals himself to his brothers. And he starts crying. And Yosef says, Ani Yosef ha'od avichoi, and they couldn't respond to him. They were so astounded. One second, let me just present the theory, okay? Then you'll be able to speak. You don't mind? My father said, it is pasha to him that Yehuda, for sure, and maybe even all the brothers, but he's the spokesman, he sensed that before him was not some cold, calculating Egyptian monarch, but really, who was standing in front of him? It's all flesh and blood, Yosef. They were suspicious, and Yehuda specifically was suspicious, and was assured in, from his standpoint, it was none other than Yosef who was standing before him. And let me just bring you a number of the rayas that my father brought. Now, Soloveitchik brought many, many rayas.
Where does this come from? Where does the
finish
come from?
I'm about to, shall
so
we say?
Let's play it. Before Yosef said it.
One second. If you remember, at the very outset, let's start from Mikes, okay? Let's just mention some of the rayas that my father, he didn't mention all of them, I heard from our Soloveitchik, many, many rayas. Let's start already in Mikes. You remember the dreams that Yosef had? Perek Mem Aleph? V'nei anachnu ma'alvim alum mitoch ha'sodeh, v'nei kom alumasi v'gam mitzodah. V'nei sesuben alumasechem v'tishachadin alumasi. How do you translate that? Behold, we are binding sheaves in the middle of the field, and my sheaf, S-H-E-A-F, sheaves, loshen rabim, sheaf, loshen yochid. And my sheaf arose and stood upright, and your sheaves surrounded and prostrated themselves to my sheaf. I teach Hebrew and English. I try to. I am a dismal failure. So the Torah describes the immediate and swift reaction of Yosef's brothers. They didn't deny the veracity of the dreams, but they're trying to downplay its consequences. What do they say? Who do you think you are? Do you expect to malok timlok means to rule over us? Mashal timshal? Rule over us. What's it with your team? Malech and Moshel, says the Vilna Gaon. Famous Gaon. Maloch is Melech. And Chazal say, ain't Melech below Am. There's no king without what? Without subjects. A king has to have subjects. Mashal is what? To impose oneself, to force oneself upon the subjects without their consent, without their acquiescence. That's the difference between a Moshel and a Melech. Are you familiar with it? He brings many rabbis from Tanakh. I can't go into it right now, but just you can accept the Gaon. He knew a little bit of Tanakh. Anyway, so the like Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Gaon says that is the distinction. So right away, that's what they hear. Now comes the second Kolom, and again the Torah says, "Vayikamru bo echav." They were jealous of him. "V'aviv shomar sadava." What does Rashi say? "V'aviv shomar sadava." Just give me two more minutes, okay? And then you will speak. I promise you, believe that. "V'aviv shomar sadava." He was waiting. What was Yaakov waiting for? For the dreams to come to fruition. Sammy, you know that Rashi. The Aviv Shomar is Hadovar, correct? So the reaction of the brothers is one of envy, but you don't see a response of, how shall we put it, utter disbelief and total incredulity. There's an uneasiness. They also sense the dream is going to come to the fore. It's going to come to fruition. Let me just finish up my few points, if you don't mind, first, and then you will speak, if you don't mind. So now I'm just going to list a number of the rayos that my father, Rav Soloveitchik, and Yibadul Chaim Arukim, Rav David Sol Shlita, brought. The brothers come down to Mitzrayim to purchase grain. The Torah testifies to the fact. What does he do? The moment he, shall we say, sees them, he tells them, so now he intimidates them, and then, shall we say, accuses them of being spies, and then incarcerates them for 3 days. And then he proposes that one of the brothers remain with him on the house arrest, while the other brothers return home to bring with them Binyamin. At that juncture, the brothers verbally express profound remorse. We spoke about the pasuk earlier. What do they say? They say, we are guilty. Why? We saw Yosef suffering when he was in the bar, and what do? We were completely insensate, insensitive, desensitized, correct? Almost not human. To the plight of a brother, one second, let me just finish the point, shall we say, who's, and then you realize the Torah says, name, lo yadu kishomea Yosef, ki ameles benosam, who was there? The interpreter, correct? You and the interpreter was right there, and Yosef understood exactly what's going on. They thought, of course, the interpreter was the one who was interpreting what they're saying. Which brother is placed on the house arrest according to Chazal? Shimon. Why? He's the one who characterized Yosef as, hinei ba'la chalomos al hazeh bo. Here comes the dreamer. And Chazal said he was the one who threw him into the pit. Yosef decided that he better be separated from his partner, named Levi. Those two together, wow, they are dynamite. They could literally destroy an entire city, which of course they did. So he decided to separate the two. And undoubtedly, the brothers right then and there said, my father should have begun to wonder, how did this foreigner intuitively single out Shimon over the others? Where did he get this piece of information? Where did it come from? But then it goes a bit further. I know I went more than 2 minutes, but what, you'll give me just another minute or two. The money is returned to their sacks, and once again, they see the divine handwriting. They're full of apprehension and tension, but they cannot identify the source. By Yetzei Libam, I read this passage with you, Sammy, before. By Yechadu Ishalachim Leimor, Mazos Sasar Elokim Ono. And then they come back to Egypt. And what is the initial question that's posed to them? Again, around the welfare of Yaakov Avinu. Yosef is constantly concerned about the welfare of whom? Of his father. He keeps asking them the same question again and again. Why in heaven's name is this Egyptian monarch concerned about the octogenarian father? Doesn't that also, shall we say, create a certain degree of suspicion about who he was? No. Beyond that.
Second order, no?
I'm coming to that. Our salvation thought that was one of the main rites. Yeah, no. We are then witness to a remarkable repast or if you will, a kind of festive meal that he holds for his brothers, and they're place seated chronologically in accordance with each of their mothers. So it says in the pasuk, "Vayishmuhu ha'anoshim isha ve'edu." They were astounded. So they did react. They were astounded. How in heaven's name did, what's going on over here? But there's no rational reason why Yosef, a little while ago, a short while ago, accused them of being what? Of espionage, of being spies, meraglim. And now what does he do? He hosts a state reception in their honor. So either he's suffering from some sort of schizophrenia, maybe he's a brisket, some pathology over here that seems to be almost incomprehensible. And then, most astounding is the camaraderie at this reception. These are spies, you hear? Would be spies, and what does the pasuk say? Vayishtu vayishkiru imo. Guess what happened that night? They had a few more, guess what? More than a few beers. Did I hear Adi?
He's fine.
It's sounds like what's the problem if you know that's wrong. Okay. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Hey, let's get this one. We got a Tzvei Dinim over here. Tzvei Dinim. And they become intoxicated. Okay, stop. Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize. I hope you'll forgive me.
The passage that you quoted, why did Yosef ask again if his father was alive, if he knew he was alive?
Which chapter is talking inside, if you don't mind?
The passage you quoted.
I have to now look at it inside, if you don't mind. You're asking a good question. It's almost in the same conversation. No, that is after, shall we say.
No, I'm saying you just.
That's after he identified himself.
Yeah. I'm asking, why does he do that again?
They're asking a very good question. And there's a long Beis Halevi on this, but I told Rabbi Roblowski, I'll let him talk about this Beis Halevi.
Okay.
I won't take it away from him. Because that's a musa to get Beis Halevi. No, Beis Halevi said it before Rabbi Shteyman. But anyway, is that possible? That someone could say something before Rabbi Shteyman? I think so. Anyway, yeah.
Assuming that we agree with Rashi that Yaakov believed that the dream was going to come true, how come when the brothers...
Chalom, the Gemara says, is a kind of nevuah. That's the nature of the chalom.
So then how come the brothers...
Even though in chalom below Dvarim Taylor, Dvarim Brachas, same Gemara, the whole sugya of chalom was at the end of Masechet Brachas. Yeah,
so how come... So that when the brothers came and told them that Yosef was alive and that he was the ruler in Mitzrayim, that he didn't believe them?
No, but that statement, again, was obviously... If you look at that in the context of the Pesukim, it says, "V'lo yitzo kodeh the pasuk." V'lo yachul echa l'anos oso. One second. Where's the pasuk?
No, this is where I'm talking about.
But he identified himself, right?
No, yeah.
Men hey gimel.
Which one?
Men hey gimel.
Yeah, I'm talking about that pasuk exactly.
No,
I'm talking about when Paros and the brothers they actually go tell. And it says that Yaakov didn't believe that Yosef was alive.
No, that first, I'm not the kasha. The pasuk says, "By Yaakov Gibo, Kilo Hemimai." What's that lashon? Perek Hey Pasuk Chavo.
Oh, does that mean that he just turned back on that belief in the nevuah?
Yes. No. That I would say in the nevuah, he was literally by Yaakov Gibo. Means literally, his heart went. He was in a state of shock, total shock. That's what it means. That's how the Ramban understands the pasuk. Yeah.
According to this.
I didn't say anything yet. I just began.
But has it happened if there are two circumstances straight out that they were shocked that he did this and it says it didn't recognize it?
Okay. But, so again, as I said, that I'm not suggesting l'chora that this is in Chazal. It's not in Chazal.
Yeah.
But a careful reading of the Pesukim and even reading between the Pesukim that our Salvation was an expert at. And I've never saw Shlita is also apparently an expert in. That's the maskana that they came to. Let me just point out the schizophrenia over here. Okay? On the one hand, he uses intimidation, he uses harsh, accusatory language, accuses them of being meraglim, he's almost vindictive, and yet he demonstrates moments of empathy, moments of intimacy, concern with his father, of an elderly, aged, and fragile individual. So I'm just saying that it would seem that Yehuda intuitively sensed that. He sensed this kind of schizophrenia on the part of this viceroy, his autocrat. Let me just finish. And therefore, that is really why he came to the maskana that it must be that Yossi was the one standing in front of him.
Well, the public says straight out that he didn't recognize
him. I understand. I did not indicate, I just said it a second ago, now I'll repeat myself.
I
didn't say that this is what Chazal say, although Rabbi Nemtzel has a Gemara, I'm going to get to it in 1 second. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
So if Yosef was so concerned about the welfare of Yaakov, why didn't he just like drop a hint to the brothers or like...
Your kashi isn't unbelievable. They call that a kiveg is akasha. It's getting an eisen akasha. That translates eisen akasha. Magnificent kasha. Is it magnificent kasha? It's a very difficult question to answer. The Ramban, as you know, the Ramban asks, why did Yosef have the courtesy to send a letter to his father? To tell him that his father's Babelus.
What? His father sold him.
I mentioned that Ramban writes, he has this kasha. Many Rishonim has this kasha. Ramban has two answers, or two-part answer. Number one, Ramban said, because there was a nebuah that Yosef felt had to come to fruition, had to be realized. He had these dreams. That's number one. My father was bothered by the Ramban. How could nebuah override kibud av aim because of the sex? Because he has a nebuah, he's going to be a melech, I know that. So therefore, goodbye kibud av aim. My father found that to be astounding. You're basically answering that question.
Yeah.
But there's a second element of the Ramban. Ramban says that he wanted to be 100% certain that his brothers were in a tshuva mode. Because they did something so heinous. The crime that they did was so egregious. Selling a brother into slavery? And therefore, he wanted to make sure that he was going to, shall we say, prepare the way for their doing tshuva, and the tshuva should be authentic and real. And I mentioned halacha and shulchan aruch that a person has the right to withhold mechila from someone else who asks them for mechila. If what? If they see that the person is not really sincere. So that's what he was waiting for—a sincere tshuva. Until then, he wasn't ready to go ahead. Now, again, you're asking still a question. Does that override kibud av aim? All this. The question is an excellent question. But the Ramban says it. The Ramban was a giant among the Rishonim. And I'm a pygmy among the Achrayim. And the Ramban was a giant. That's what he says. Yes.
Rosh Hashanah mentioned something about them like watching him in the war.
The Pasuk says.
But
Aval Hashemim Anachnu Alachinu. Asher Ra'inu Tzoras
Nafsho. Didn't we say that they went and ate right after they
dumped the Lachakasha. Chaim HaKadosh asked your kasha. The Rishonim, trust me, if you learn the Farshim well,
also,
it's not a question that was not asked. Trust me. What?
Also, the Zohar made an assumption that they were the ones who sold
it. What? By the way, this is Machlokes HaRishonim. Yeah, another Machlokes HaRishonim. He probably was sold many, many times. So they didn't directly sell him to Mitzrayim, and went through many hands. The Pesukim are very unclear. Rishonim point this out. But I just want to, shall we say, continue by finish Isaac first, yeah?
If they knew the whole time, why would they suddenly go silent when he explicitly revealed himself?
I cannot say the knowledge was 100% certain. It was not
intuition.
What?
Yes.
It was an intuition, but it was based on, shall we say, a supposition that had some, I would say, pretty credible evidence over here in front of us, and I mentioned some of it, I mentioned all of it. There are many, many rais. Many more rais than whatever I showed you. You have to read them sort of very carefully, but you don't really have chumashim to examine it properly right now. But I'm just telling you, intuitively, they may have felt this, but they weren't 100% sure. And of course, when somebody else identifies themselves, they're in a state of complete and total, shall we say, astonishment.
And why did Yosef send out all the Egyptians first?
That,
and how did they hear about it afterwards?
Who, the Egyptians?
Yeah,
if you read the Pesukim, read the Pesukim. Look at the Pasuk for this. So right now, since you're mentioning that, let's take a look at the Pesukim. You have a Chumash, everyone? Look at the Pesukim. Isaac is asking very good questions, as all of you. Here the Pasuk says, Men Hei, Lo Yachal Yosef Yisafe, he couldn't hold himself back. Bayikra Hotziu Kol Ish Me'ola. And the reason why, that's Pashup Shach. Rashi says to himself that obviously there's going to be tremendous embarrassment over here. And he didn't want to embarrass his brothers in the presence of all the Egyptians who were, shall we say, around him.
Doesn't the Ramban say that the reason why is because If they heard that his brother betrayed, that their brother betrayed Yosef, that they're traitors to their brothers, and all the more so the betrayers to Egypt.
There are many pshatim, and wasn't one of them, and you just suggested, you mentioned, that's correct, but we shouldn't have said this. But the simple pshat, without knowing anything, I'm someone who's not familiar with anything, so I just read the psukim, and you read the text of the psukim, it's clear. In order, as Rashi said, I think Rashi is the simplest pshat. Namely,
speaking Hebrew. Like they've been speaking Hebrew to themselves the whole time.
By the way, that's another excellent Torah which my father Roshan was bothered by. Well, like I discussed this, if you remember, if you were
translator.
There's a translator over here, right?
Yeah, Menashe, the translator.
But you're asking a good question. My father was bothered by the Kashi also. But put me outside. You're asking a lot of Kashis. They're all wonderful.
The other
I can't answer all that right now. I just have to deal with another issue first. I'm trying to get to the main issue. So the puzzle simply seems to say, this is a private kind of reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers, which you can imagine must have been incredibly difficult. Not just for the brothers, but for Yosef as well. They sold him into slavery. 22 years the man is in, shall we say, isolated from his entire family, incarcerated almost as it were, in Egypt. Okay, he's the autocrat, he's the viceroy of the Mishnah of Mitzrayim, but he's in a state of loneliness, shame, kavod. Now they suddenly, he reveals himself. Could you imagine what they were stung? He was stung. Both of them are stung. That's what it says. Vayitin is called over three. But look at the next pasuk says. It answers your question. Vayishmu Mitzrayim. Vayishmu Mitzrayim. He started crying uncontrollably. And that's when the Egyptian pasuk says, and followed by this kasha too. She said first Vayishmu Mitzrayim, then Vayishmu Mitzrayim. Is the order reverse over here? Should have said first the Hasa power heard, and then it's right heard. Why is the Torah reverse it? I follow the whole answer to this. I don't want to get involved right now. I'm just telling you that.
Is it an actual hearing, or is it like what is it?
Excellent! The word by Yishma in Yiddish. My father said, Tvei Din. The word by Yishma in Yiddish means Sahara, and there's another translation. Not just Sahara. Sahara means to hear. To do here, to understand exactly what the implications of the hearing are all about. That's what my father said, he had it twice by Yishmael. The first time, by Yishmael Mitzrayim, Zev Gehelt, they heard what's happening physically. My eustachian canal, correct, was activated. And now, by Yishmael Beis Paro, the second time, my father said, they began to understand the implication of this could be wondrous. Okay, but if you don't mind, let me just, all right, go ahead.
That's great.
Don't use that word. I don't like that term.
I think we're quick.
No, they're really quick. They keep telling me, the last person who asked me, I'd rather can I ask you a good question? And then an hour later, I'm still looking at
you. He reveals himself, and then he cries, and then he actually reveals himself. So at what point did he reveal himself?
But the simple pshat of psukim seems to be, again, if you take a look carefully, the pasuk gimel. After all this kind of introduction.
He reveals himself before he even starts crying.
So the word behisvada and vayomer Yosef alachem ani Yosef ado v'chayi. Look at pasuk aleph. Lo amad ishito behisvada. Translate that word behisvada Yosef alachem. He's about to reveal himself, and now in pasuk gimel he reveals himself. The language would seem to indicate that. Okay, but I want to refer you, Rabbi Nemetzol Shlita, refer me to a gemara in Titus. Oh, Titus. Who here is learning Titus? Excellent. So you remember the Gemara on Daf Tes? I'll say over the Gemara, you'll probably remind yourself. The Gemara, what was that?
Didn't reach that point yet.
Ah, didn't reach that, okay. I know, Kima, Lachlat, Rabbi Lachlat, Ifra. Okay, we did this for now, you're a Talmud of his, Baruch Hashem, Halavai, you should be zochet to continue learning Lachlat, but absorbing everything, chazuring it 41 times. And then afterwards, learning the Homosexual Tightness. And then memorizing Homosexual Tightness. So the Gemara there tells about Reish Lakish had a young son, and Reish Lakish actually, he read a pasuk in Mishlei. There's a striking pasuk, again, it's Mishlei Perek Yutes. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Yivelos Odom Tisalem Darko. Whenever I see you, I think of Shalom HaMelech.
He was us at all?
And the Sheikh Molamala the Lord plus his
the rain
that doesn't.
The red.
The rain. It's raining right now in Britain. So the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ivelas Odom Tisalik Darko, Vialashem Yizav Libo. I mean, sometimes a person does something which is egregious, dreadful, and then when later on he suffers from what he did, so right away he gets angry. Who's he blaming? Ribbono Shel Olam. He did it. He done it. He done the dirty work. You're not willing to blame yourself, but rather you right away shift the blame to others. So Rabbi Yochanan heard this child, the son of Reish Lakish, say this pasuk. He asked himself, where is this found in the Torah? Where is this idea, which is mentioned in the pasuk of Mishlei, Paragut Tes? You probably familiar with Mishlei. It's a Paragut Tes. I can't tell you what pasuk it is, but it's a famous pasuk. I taught Mishlei once. Very difficult. Very, very difficult sefer to teach.
With the graph?
As Chantoya Nimaskayon. I didn't learn it with the graph. I'm sorry, I know I'm guilty as charged, and I respectfully ask for your forgiveness.
I'm sorry, Shiva.
Why are you sorry? I said, I'm sorry. And he says, he's sorry. Well, I'm very sorry that you're sorry. But anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan, yes, where is this found in the Torah, this idea that a person blames Hashem or blames somebody else for his own, shall we say, malfeasance?
Huda.
So he answered, again, because there's nothing, so he answered, it's found here, in the Parsha Bikin. So the Gemara in Tanya, that's Tessam et al. By the brothers of Yosef, after one of them found the money that Yosef had placed in their knapsack, so it says here, Berk Menbeis, Pasi Chofes, Vayetzei Libor, Vayachadu Isha Lachim Deimor, Mazol Sasel Lachim Lano. Means the brothers did something which is inappropriate, which is wrong. Namely, the brothers apparently, they sold Yosef, and they did something that was heinous, a heinous crime. And now when the results of what happened, so instead of saying, what have we done? They said, Mazos Osa Elohim Lanu. Who do they blame it on? Hashem. That's what this Gemara has in Titus Daf Tesef et al. This is the child of Reish Lakish. You know, like here, little children, they call them here, Chayos HaKadosh. You ever heard that expression?
All the animals.
I'm reading Perak Membeis, Pasuk Chavches. So what was the egregious error on the part of the brothers? So I heard from Abdel Mitzvah Shrik, I think he said the name of Ishmer. Ishmer, his father-in-law, whose name was Rab Chaim Zev Finkel, known as the Chazap. He was the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, many years ago. Chazap! Not Chazak. Chazap! Chaim Zev Finkel. Chet Zayin Pei. What? What's whose name?
Roshi was the middle name.
Ah. I don't reveal it. Avishai Charles David.
Roshi doesn't have a second Hebrew name?
What?
Roshi doesn't have a second Hebrew name?
I do.
Avishai Chaim.
My father, Shalom, did not give any of us English names. My father was opposed to it. Charles. Excuse me?
Charles.
He said,
what
about Charles?
That's a name I confront upon myself.
Better than
Charles
the
first.
Why not? Why not?
Anyway,
because of Howard.
Good question. So now, the Chazak, Rav Levinsohn Shver, as I decided the bracha, he said, you know what the velad was, you know what their error was? Before they go and leave Mitzrayim, you know what they should have looked at? Looked at their knapsacks. Correct? They obviously paid good money for the tefuah that they bought from Yosef. How come they don't? Generally speaking, when people go and buy something, that's right, don't you make sure you have everything? Trust me, when I go and leave, or let's say when I'm going to travel, I check my suitcases about
100 times.
At least. I'm always worried about that I have my passport, my Israeli passport, my American passport, and all the other, shall we say, accoutrements that are required. How come they don't examine what was put into their knapsack? You know, there's an expression in Hebrew, you're probably familiar with it, being in Israel a little bit. When you buy something, sometimes people buy a srogim in quote unquote covered boxes. You're familiar with that phenomenon? You probably never saw that.
Covered boxes?
That is to say, that you buy it unseen. That's what you have to buy. We're going to give you a deal, correct? And that's what they call in Hebrew, chatul basak. And you buy
a cat in the bag.
Exactly. That's an expression. Cat in the bag.
Cat in the bag.
Chatul basak. Which means you don't know what you're getting. Are you into that?
No.
Sorry. Could you imagine a woman who goes to buy a dress and she doesn't see the dress? They just tell her exactly. She tells them the size. That's it. Whatever is in the box, that's it. Could you imagine such a thing?
Especially if she travels from as you struggle to try.
Can you imagine buying a cat in a bag?
Same thing. So had they examined the knapsacks, they would have found the money that Yosef put in there. And the second time they would have found the Gavia, they wouldn't have had all these accusations being hurled at them that you're a bunch of Ganovim. A bunch of 1 second. However, Rav Levitzel said, okay, that's a pshat. He said it over Mishver. He was very, very revered of his Shver. He loved his Shver. Rav Levitzel. He likes everyone. He's got a real problem. The best thing is a real problem. He likes the whole world. The exception of certain types leave a lot to be desired. You know what Rabbi Levitzel said? That was not the Ivelet. You know what the Ivelet was? They couldn't see what's in front of their eyes. They don't understand that this Mishnah Melech is none other than Yosef. It's true, power changed his name. Namely, Sofnas
Panea.
Or in Egyptian, how would you say it? Sofnat Panea. Something like that. But if he would have heard, and they would have heard that the Egyptians are talking about Yusuf. I'm just trying to do a good job. After he's appointed the Mishnah Melech, they would understand he's talking about Yosef. But as I said, look at all the rayas. I'll give you another raya that Rabbi Nemtzol mentioned to me. The Perek Mem Beis, look at Perek Mem Beis, we have a Chumash. Pasuk Yud Ches. Just 1 second more, just give me a minute or two more, I'm sorry. I know I'm a little prolix. He said that the Ivelot was not what his Shver suggested. The Ivelot was, they should have realized, this guy in front of them is none other than whom? Than Yosef. And he brought me another ayah. Would you imagine, in Perek Mem Beis,
how does that answer the question?
1 second. That the issue was that they should have recognized that the conduct of this Mishnah Melech was clearly the conduct of not some Egyptian viceroy, autocrat, monarch, cold, and imperious, as I said before, but rather none other than the long-lost brother Yosef. That was the Ivelot. That was their egregious error. And he brought me a number of rayas further beyond that which I mentioned from my father's Avinu Bracha and from Absalvezi Zatzal. Look in Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Tes. Here the Mishnah Melech accused them of Miraglim Atem. You're a bunch of spies. A few moments later, what does he announce in Pasuk Yud Ches? Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Yud Ches. Yosef then incarcerates them for 3 days. And then he says on the third day, Zos Asu Vichu Es Elokim Ani Yarei. I'm Yarei Shamayim. What in heaven's name is that? What is going on over here? Not only that, here we have 9 Meraglim, and guess what he does? Meraglim! Let me ask you a question. I don't know what you do. If you were to find 9 people and accuse them of espionage, what would you do to these people, shall we say? Would you then send them home? Send them home to go ahead and report everything they saw to whomever? Is that what you would do? You know what you would do with them? I'll tell you what Putin would do.
It's a Roman gas.
Putin would do what they did over there in Saudi Arabia to that news reporter.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
He's got the LV, he's got the Shmeidabo. Putin would employ him. Isn't he a little bit, as they say in Yiddish, Modna? His behavior is bizarre. Not only that, the brothers see something else, as I also want to mention. The brothers see that this Mishnah Melech, you know, he's using the Gavir as a minachesh. Minachesh for divination. How do you translate divination? He right away, he says that two of you destroyed the entire city of Shechem. Rashi called city of Bergman Beis, Pasuk Yudalim. And then he knows, as I said earlier, whose mother is whom. Don't they recognize that this Gavia, obviously, first of all, let me tell you something else Rabbi Nevinson told me. The Gavia knows how to tell what happened in the house of Yaakov only to one point in time. Till the Mechira Sese. That's all the Gavia can tell. And after that, the Gavia apparently has no knowledge. Did they recognize that? this so-called Gavia. About Yehuda ben Tamar, this Gavia doesn't know anything. The koch of this Gavia ends when? With the story, Bechiras Yosef. Doesn't that, shall we say, shouldn't that be something that should be peculiar to them?
Well, no, because Yosef was able to tell them, like, the color of the wood of their cribs and, like, all that crazy stuff. Like, I'm sure they pressed it more to their mind. You would have known everything. Just, like, prove they know everything.
Let me go further. One second. Mem Gimel Chav Gimel. Look at Mem Gimel Chav Gimel. It's also in next week's Pasha of Miketz. Here the Pasuk says that they tell the person in charge of Yosef's household about the money they found in their knapsack. So he tells them. What does this guy tell them? Elokechem, Elokei Avichem, Masal Lachem, Matmo Miatach Osechem. Who gave you a present? Your God and the God of your father. Isn't that a little Meshunanik? Isn't that Kerem Meshunan, Meshus HaRabim? Well, every day when I come back to the Makolet, I find all kinds of presents in my, shall we say, knapsack? What in heaven's name is going on here? Not only that, further, said Rabbi Nebensol, look in Pasuk Membez Tezayin, the famous Chazal. You probably are familiar with it. Sammy, you know these Chazals inside out. Look at Tezayin. Is that Membez or Mem Gimel Tezayin? Sorry. Mem Gimel. Oh, here it is. Pasuk Sava Tezayin. Vaya Yosef Yitamiz Binyamin, what does he tell them? He tells people in his house, Hobeyas Anoshim Aboysa, Utroach Tevach Vaochein. What does Chazal learn from here? Bring it to an abattoir and have it checked in. Or kosher shchita. Utzvoach tevach v'ochei. And not only that, the Gemara says in Chulin Adat Tanakalot that you also make sure you take out the gid anoshe. Take out the sciatic nerve before you go ahead and give it as part of the meal. But that's what every Egyptian does when they go, shall we say, they go and have a kosher shchita by Bedatz or by Rabbi Reuben or Rabbi Machbud.
Rav Landau.
Don't they understand that we're talking about Yosef? Didn't they come to that obvious elementary, my dear Watson, Maskana? Yes, go ahead, Sally.
Why couldn't they just have looked in the bags and thought that that's what they were being given?
Further, said Rabbi Nebensol, you have thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people going down to Mitzrayim. The whole country, the whole world is in a state of terrible famine. And guess what? The only people, the only ones that are accused of being Meragdim are whom? Achei Yosef.
They appear well fed.
Oh, they appear well fed.
Yes.
Everyone else is scrawny. Everyone else is, shall we say, looks like they are emaciated from somewhere in Africa, with the exception of Achei Yosef. So, all these three, my father Zechayim Lebracha, our Sovetz Zatzal, my Nebensol Shlita, my brother Chaim Arukin, all came to the ineluctable conclusion that it's very clear. Who was standing in front of them? Yosef and Yaakov.
You know that. What's the mistake? No, it's not sad. It's just like,
don't you know that? Let me just say one last thing. So now the question is, so why didn't they come to this obvious maskana? It's staring us right in the face. And by the way, the Pasuk of Mishnah that I quoted to you, the Gemara Tanya, that you're learning, and that Tessa Menalo, the Gemara uses a Lashon, Pasuk of Mishnah, Ivelet Odom Tesalev Darko. Ivelet is spelled Aleph Vav Lamed Tov. There are other words that describe, shall we say, this phenomenon, Ivelet. For example, how do you say foolish in Hebrew? There are many words, such as
Ksil.
Okay, Ksil, what else?
Tipesh,
excellent. What else? We say the Shabbos davening.
Hedjot,
okay, no, exactly. But okay, Shota is also Ishbar. You know Ishbar, no Yehuda. What's an Ishbar? A boorish person, a crass, brutish person. Lo Yehuda, still Lo Yavin. Why do they use the term Yivelot over here? The answer is Yivelot comes from what Shorish? The Malbim says it's in Mishlei. I hope you don't mind. I looked in the Malbim. Anyway, so not to grow up. But the Malbim says in Mishlei, Ivela comes to the word Ulai. Oh boy. Sammy, where are you? You hear this? Malbim, Sammy. Ivela comes to the word Ulai. What does that mean? That, and everything that I tell a person that's intelligent, he says, what Joey says. Maybe not so. Ulai is a little kaka. Maybe it's not like that. And as a person wants to hear 1,000% evidence, documented evidence, that this is the case, etc., etc. So I'm saying to you that he had many simonim here, many, many simonim, many rayas that the person sitting in front of them assumed none other than their long-lost brother Yosef, but they are not ready to accept it. Why? Because they cannot accept the fact that what? That this gentleman who was there, I guess you can call him in some respects, their nemesis, who prophesied through Nebuah, he's going to become, shall we say, a Moshe and a Melech. They could not handle it. Because it ran counter to everything that they essentially subscribed to. Do you hear what I'm saying? And when a person is Logeh B'davar, when a person has a Negiah, a transit Negiah, when a person has a vested interest. When a person has a negia, as you know, some of the bagia b'davar
bias.
What was that?
Bias.
A bias, thank you. The person's puzzle aidos. And that's really one of the lessons that we have to learn actually over here. A tremendous lesson that all of us, many of us, have what I call hanachot b'davar. We have, let's say, preconceived notions. For example, when I met some of the people in this yeshiva, in Shana Aleph, I have a certain preconceived notion of them, right away. And it's not always, shall we say, the most positive. Why? Maybe you'll tell me why. And then when I get to know you, I see in front of me such an outstanding young man, such outstanding young men, after a period of time. So what happened?
I'm judging the book by its cover.
Correct. What does it say in the Mishnah? Al tistaka b'kankan al b'mashiyesh bo. We should pick it up. Don't look at the kankan. Look what's inside. And there's unbelievable what's inside over there. You have the potential, as I've said a number of times, to be not just B'nai Torah, not just Talmid Chachamim. But there's no doubt in my mind that from this group is going to come halavai, 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 one or two Gedolei Yisrael.
Amen.
Okay, you won't let me go. Go ahead, Sam.
First of all, didn't answer much Nair's question of why they look in the bag.
I don't have the answer to every question, I'll be honest with you, but I think the thesis that's being presented here has tremendous error. And it's just a provocative thesis, which I heard the last several decades of my life from my father, Benjamin Bracho, my contend to be my Rebbe, and from several Gedolei Yisrael, who are no slouches. So this is how we have to learn Chumash. There's so much excitement in Chumash. Isn't it exciting?
Very much.
Chumash to me is exciting beyond belief. Tanakh is exciting beyond belief. And you know what the most exciting thing in my life is? Keren Mishuna Mishasarab. Baba Kama. Wow. I just love it. For me, it's like meat and potatoes. No, isn't that for you? Meat and potatoes?
Somewhat.
There's a question whether potatoes are pe'alocha are subject to the issue of bishulakim. You remember that shayla in alocha? Plus, we can talk a lot about it. There are two clothes of bishulakim. One is food cooked by a guy, zasim, the kelim are zasim. What about potatoes? So there are two clothes. If the food can be eaten raw, there's no issue of bishulakim. I can eat Baba Kama raw. There's no use of Mishalach. And the second principle you should know is that which is Eilah Shulchan Malach, that which goes fit for a royal table, which unquestionably is Baba Kama, is only fit for a royal table. And who are the royal people, the royal tables? Man Malki! Rabbanim. There's a good problem sitting here right in front of me. Yes! This is Rabbi Chaikin, my Rebbe. Go ahead.
If we know that various reasons of why Yosef
didn't straight up reveal himself, whether he wanted to like give him the opportunity to do tshuva or like not to embarrass them.
Ramban.
Right? Then why did he give any hints at all? If he were to ruin his plan to whatever.
Adrabba. On the contrary, I say. Your question is already, you know what they say? Shelas chacham, chatzi tshuva. In the question of a chacham like yourself, is already have the answer. That's exactly how Yosef, he threw out hints, and the idea was that they should take the hint, and obviously, not just take it, but, shall we say, digest it, internalize it. Exactly. That was exactly the whole intent of Yosef HaTzadik. And he were Rosh Hashem, he succeeded in doing that, and bringing back Pagis, once again, bringing Achdus, the greatest kibbutz of the egg, you should know, for a parent, is when children, siblings, live together in harmony, in unity. That's exactly what happened at the end of the parsha. We achieved that level of Achdus, and Baruch Hashem, it all came together.